this concept of the heart and connecting back into the heart, not just from a mental place, a philosophy and concepts and talking about it, but also a place of feeling it and embodying it, which means that there needs to be expression that comes up. A lot of times I work a lot with one-on-one clients and, you know, I'm working somatically as well as mentally, somatically meaning of the body, like acupressure points and things like this. And I'll notice people will be going deep into different things, but still no expression. The emotion, I'll see tears like starting to come down and I can see them just holding it back like, no, the dam is breaking. Yes, let it break. There's a beauty in surrendering to the emotion that's within you, because all the energy you take to hold on to it, to keep those barriers up, to shield against vulnerability, and mind you again, we look at the idea of safety first. You get to be vulnerable when you feel safe, not just all the time, but when you feel safe, to allow that vulnerability to come up, because otherwise you're investing all your energy into these barriers and walls and protections that aren't letting you feel, aren't letting emotions, which you've probably heard this before, energy in motion, right? Emotion is like a wave. It's wanting to move through you, not at you. It's like if you stuck your hand or you grabbed hold of a live wire and you didn't move it to anything else, well, it's going to shock you. You're going to get the brunt of that power. And the same is with emotion. It's powerful. But when you can hold that and then let it move through, you even ground it through to the ground, into the earth, or maybe to a counselor or a coach or a friend or family, where you take that emotion and you don't just take it in, but you let it move through in expression. Right? Now, that doesn't mean that if you're angry at somebody, you're like, you did this to me. No, no, that's projecting it. I want you to express it. There's a difference. Expressing is being witnessed in your feeling, not your thought. So again, that said, my intention today is to connect the two, the mind and the heart, because I think that's where we're going to have the most powerful effect, understanding with feeling. And to do that, I'd like to do a little simple exercise here at the beginning. Now, I know all of you, if you've done any yoga class or even some of the meditation classes here, you've been asked to do a very simple thing, and it's to take a deep breath in. Go ahead, take a deep breath in. Let it back out. Take another one in. Hold it. Hold it there. And as you're holding that breath, I want you to contemplate this idea of emotions. When we take emotions and we feel them and then we hold those emotions, keep holding your breath. And you're holding that emotion, keep holding your breath. After a while, you start to feel an effect inside you. Hold that breath. When we're holding on to anything, emotion, breath, thought, whatever it is, hold that breath. Let it out. Whew. The funny thing is, sometimes in these other classes, you'll hear people say, take a deep breath, let it out with a big sigh. You guys did it naturally. Because that's what happens when we're holding on to something. Then when we finally let it out, it comes out naturally with this, whoo, whoo. Oh man, why was I holding on to that? I always wonder the same. So we're going to do a little bit different. We're going to connect now the mind to the heart with that, because the expression of emotion is what I call the heart. The mind is normally the symbols in which we define those emotions. Now, we just breathe, so we're just going to use the word breath. So you're going to take in another deep breath. And on the exhale, you're going to say, breathe. I always love the first round of that. People are like, is everybody else going to do it? And again, take another deep breath in. And again, breathe. And now start to just let that happen naturally. Take a breath in, your own pace. Back out. Breathe. Excellent. Breathe. Now everybody with a continuous breathe, 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 breathe. You guys keep it going. I'm going to add to this. Keep going. Breathe nice and loud. There we go. Yeah. Deep into your body, breathe. See that smile start to shine. Just gotta get outside your mind. Breathe and breathe and breathe. Deep into your heart now, breathe. Breathe. Now look around as you're doing this, because something's happening already, and especially when you look around, it's contagious. You're going to notice it. It's this funny thing that happens to your lips. They start to go up towards your ears. And if, again, you look around right now, even if you stop the breathing, you're going to notice, see, look at that, it started to grow, I can see it. This is how easy it is to move, not just from the mind to the heart, but to move the emotions that are stuck. And sometimes the limiting beliefs like doubt that keep us in this place where we're like, I can't be happy until I get through this. But you can. All you got to do is breathe and smile and express. And notice that you're not alone in all of it. How are you guys feeling? Give me a thumbs up if you're feeling good. Today's topic is dealing with doubt. So dealing with doubt, this is an interesting thought. Christina made a comment to me last week, which is why we decided on this topic, and I thought it was beautiful. She said, you know, I think I realized that doubt is a defense mechanism. The doubt is a defense mechanism. Have you ever thought about that? A lot of times I think we think doubt is just some limitation, some, you know, unworthiness within. We're like, oh, I don't think I can, or this and that. But what if it's not that you don't think you can, but it's the excuse not to even try? It's the excuse to not even try. I see this all the time. People will be so excited, like, oh my God, I figured it out. I've had this vision in an ayahuasca journey or a kirtan or something, and you know, I know exactly what I want to do. Okay, great. When are you going to do it? I don't know. Maybe next year. I'll do it next year. When I have enough money, when I have more time, I got to handle these things first, and then I'll start to do that. And that is doubt creeping in, hesitation, procrastination. It's all these things that are part of our defense mechanisms, right? And we go back to what we committed to earlier, safety. If we know that we're safe, then we don't need the defense mechanisms. So maybe that's where we need to start, is to figure out how do we create safety in our lives. And safety has a few different aspects to it. There's the physical safety, right, of your physiology, your body. There's mental safety, how you think and how you are identified with things, so who you think you are. And then there's emotional safety, which I believe is the ability to express yourself, to know that it's safe to let the emotions out, to let your truth come through. Let's start with the physical safety. It's the easiest one. All you have to do, this is a secret ninja strategy. Yes. Those of you who have come to my talks, you know that if I say ninja strategy, you can join me in a whatcha. We're going to try that again. Ninja strategy. Whatcha. Yes. This is why I do these talks. And then I always forget what the strategy was. In order to find physical safety, all you have to do is ask a simple question. You ask it of yourself, and you go like this. You go, okay, self, am I safe right now? That's the key. Am I safe right now? And I can guarantee that if you have the luxury to ask that question to yourself, you're safe in that moment. Because if you're in the middle of the street and a semi-truck is coming at you, you're not like, let me ask some questions. No, you get out of the way, right? You're like, okay, no, that's not going to work. So if you have the luxury to ask questions, and the beauty of asking questions is the curiosity and the possibilities it opens up for you, when you ask a question, it's telling you you're safe enough to explore possibilities. So great. Physically, all of you in this room with the luxury not only to ask questions, but to be in Bali, Indonesia, listening to a random guy talk about the heart, you're safe physically in this moment. Right? So let's then look at mental safety. Mental safety is going to be a little bit different because it's all about the identity. Now, this is a tricky one. You know, one of the things that they say is the scariest thing to do is public speaking, what I'm doing right now, being up here. And I can guess that probably if I pointed at one of you randomly, I was like, okay, you're going to take over, go. You'd be like, I even see it in some of your faces right now. Your whole nervous system just went like this. Relax. Breathe. Mental safety, this idea of identity, we get stuck on it. And we think, okay, this is who I am. This is how I want people to see me. I don't want that to change. But if I was to ask you right now, who are you? You would struggle to tell me. Which I find funny because you're fighting to hold on to something you're not even clear about. The identity that we have, I like to say, is your power to choose. Yourself, who you see yourself as, is the power to choose. It's how you choose in any moment what you're going to do, how you're going to express, who you're going to be. When you realize that and you realize how impermeable, how flexible, how malleable it can be, hopefully you don't feel so terrified of it being threatened because you know that you can bring it back, create it new, do whatever you want with who you are. How many of you, now that you're here in Bali, if it's your first visit or even second visit, whatever many visits, but you know you're away from your normal home and friends and family, and you arrived and there's a little voice in your head that you were like, I can be anyone. They won't know. I could just be who I want to be. Amazing. Why don't you do that at home? Probably because the safety is not there. People have gotten used to knowing you for who you are. I know. It's one of the biggest questions I get all the time from my clients or people in these classes when they're just about to head home. They're like, but what do I do when I get home? Because I've changed. And the people at home haven't. How is that going to work? First thing I say, and it's counterintuitive, put down the shields and the armor. Because that's what we want to do when we want to hold on to something, is we put defensive mechanisms around it. We put barriers to try to protect it. Can I tell you guys a little story? Cool. So years ago, I knew this guy. He was living here in Bali, and he was telling me about his previous life, not a past life. I know we talk about those kind of things here, but just a previous life when he was a door-to-door salesman. And he mentioned to me, he's like, yeah, you know who my favorite customer was? It was the ones who had signs in front of the houses that said, no solicitors. Now, if you know what solicitor means, it means nobody coming up on the door and bothering you, right? And he's like, those are my favorite clients and customers. I'm like, what are you talking about? They're definitely going to say no. He's like, no, they're not. They put up the shield, the armor, because they don't feel strong enough to say no. They don't feel secure enough in themselves, in the choice of who they are, in their truth, to even allow me to come in. So they hopefully they go, aha, I've got a wall, you can't get by it. But most of us, when we see a wall, and maybe we see a bright light on the other side of it, what are you going to do? Are you going to be like, oh, well, there's a wall. I guess I won't ever know what that bright light is. I'm not even going to look. I'll walk away. That's not what we do. We try to look over the wall. We're like, and the more, I guess, curious types and maybe aggressive types will try to knock the wall down. So when we put these defensive mechanisms up, and again, when you're in an actual dangerous situation, have your walls up. Better yet, get out of the situation. But when you are in a situation of life, when it's just your mind that's telling you something feels dangerous, take a moment to see if maybe instead of having a barrier as your wall, instead of having a wall as your boundary, which keeps everybody out, by the way, it means all the support, all the people who want to help you, lift you, inspire you, they can't get in either. So instead of a wall, what if you had clarity? And clarity means you choosing and expressing who you want to be seen as, who you are deciding to be. Does that make sense? It's a bit of an out there thought. Instead of a wall, a barrier, to just be clear. I'll give you an example. Imagine that you have a candy shop. And in the candy shop, you only offer sour candies. Now, you're passionate about sour candies. You love sharing sour candies. You have stocked your entire store with nothing but sour candies. But you didn't put any sign up outside. You just kind of put an open sign. That was it. No clarity as to what it is you're offering from who you are. And so somebody walks in the door. They're like, hi, do you guys have pets here? No, I don't have any. No, no pets. It's a candy. No, go. They leave. A little frustrated. Maybe you're a little annoyed. Another person comes in and goes, I'd like to get some car insurance or a rental car. Can I do that here? No, you can't get a rental car here. It's a candy shop. And this keeps happening all day. By the time you go home, you're like, ah, screw it. I don't even want a candy shop anymore. I don't like candies anymore. When we're not being clear about who we're choosing to be, what we're choosing to love and express into the world, we're going to have a lot of wasted time and energy trying to avoid all the places that we don't want. But if you just put a big sign, neon sign, right outside and it says, candy shop, sour candies. Or whatever it is that your passion is. Maybe it's athletics. Maybe it's baking and cooking. Maybe it's public speaking. Maybe it's yoga and meditation. Whatever it is, if you were really clear about this is who I am in this moment, it can change. Maybe it's one of those scrolling signs, right? You can just program a new one in there whenever you want. Flexibility. So mental safety is about realizing that you can choose whoever you want to be. It's not based on some external approval. I'm going to say that again. You can choose to be whoever you want to be. It's not based on some external approval. Now we come back to our topic today of dealing with doubt. How often is doubt really there only because we're thinking, well, what if people don't agree? What if it's not approved? What if it doesn't fit? What if it's not enough? Ooh, that's a dangerous one. Any of you ever had that enoughness come in? Ooh. If instead we were just like, you know what, it's enough for me. I'm choosing it, and this is what's going to be from me. Not having to be for you. That's the difference. Our identity, our sense of self, the confidence and empowerment of that happens from choosing it for you, not for everyone. I see this as I'll call it an initiation for a lot of people when they start to do the self-discovery journey and they start to open up and all these things start to come through and they're like, wow, and this insight and that insight and this truth and that truth. And then they're like, oh, I have to tell everyone the truth. No. There is not a truth. There is many truths. Every single one of us has our own truth. And each one of them is just as valid. So again, mental safety, it's about realizing that. So we have physical safety, we have mental safety, and then we have that emotional safety. And emotional safety, that one is the one that unfortunately society seems to have drilled out of us. In so many different ways, whether it was from not feeling okay to emote in public. Maybe a parent, when you were young, you started to cry and they didn't know what to do and it made them uncomfortable and they thought it was making other people uncomfortable. So they're like, shh, shh, shh. No, don't cry, don't cry. And then in your little baby mind, you were like, oh, crying's bad? Okay, what do I do with it then? I just don't do it? Oh, I'll just stuff it down. I'll just push it down in here. Yeesh. Emotional safety comes from expression. It's from allowing that expression, not being stifled. And that expression doesn't have to be words. It doesn't have to be emotion. It can be movement. It can be breath. It can be whatever you choose it to be. You can be journaling, but somehow getting it from inside out. I love when you look at nature. Nature is so obvious about this. Anytime there's emotional trauma to an animal or any form of nature, first thing that it does, well, actually, first thing it does is make sure it's safe. And as soon as it feels safe, it's right, shakes it off. See a dog crossing the street, somebody honks at it. Dog's like, gets the safety, and then shakes it off. What do we do as human beings? Same scenario, you almost get hit, go, whoa! And you hold it. You bury it somewhere. Maybe you think about it all day, magnifying it. I could have died. So again, we take a deep breath in. It's as simple as that sometimes. You have an emotion starting to come up, and I know emotions tend to come up in inconvenient moments, don't they? You've ever had that middle of a class, on public transport, you're eating something at a cafe, something triggers, you're in pigeon pose, you know, all of a sudden you're like, something starts to come up, and your mind is like, no, not now! Later, when I'm all alone, at home, in my room, nobody can help me, then I'll let it out. How silly is that? Because somehow we doubt our worth of being supported. How many of you have issues with worthiness? Both worthiness and being enough, these are interesting ones, and I'm going to say something really counterintuitive. I've said it in some of my other talks. It's true, you're not enough. But not because you as 100% in your authentic expression isn't enough. 100%, this is the math is there, you're enough, more than. But most of us aren't 100%, we're fragmented. We've got pieces of ourselves in all sorts of different places in our history, in our traumas, in our conditioning, in our barriers and protections and defenses, in our different roles that we play with one another. And so then when we look back at what's left behind all the walls, it's like 10, 15%. And you're looking at that little fragment, and you're like, well, that's not going to do. It's not enough. I like to say that healing isn't about fixing anything because nothing's broken. All you have to do is reintegrate. Bring back all the pieces that you have fragmented out by thinking that you had to lay anchors in places of trauma or influence or impact. But instead, what would happen if you took all that into the pure awareness, the whole awareness of this present moment, to notice and recognize what's really in this moment, and then have the capacity to deal with it? You see, we have doubts because we don't have all our capacity here right now. We're going in from one little aspect. How many of you looked at an Instagram feed and maybe like it was somebody talking about their $1 million or somebody talking about their amazing vacation in Bali or whatever it was, and as you were looking at it, you're like, oh, wish I could do that. Wish I could have that. And some other little voice in the back being like, yeah, but not you. You're not enough. You're not worthy. You haven't suffered or struggled enough. You haven't done enough. But the truth is that even that Instagram feed or post is a fragment. You don't know what's behind it. And the same thing in your life. When you're just looking at the fragment, you're missing how much power, possibility, and potential there is outside of that viewpoint. One of the biggest things that I get to do when I work one-on-one with clients is to help them see that there's more beyond what they've been seeing. Right? People, when we get into our doubts, when we get into our insecurities, our limitations, and especially when we're stuck in the nervous system mentality of not feeling safe, it's even in the physiology, when we're not feeling safe, we go into this little amygdala, it's a reptilian part of our brain at the base here. And it only knows how to do a few things, because it's for your survival. Not for your thinking, not for your imagination, not for creativity, just for your survival. So it only knows how to fight, flight, freeze, or fawn, which is people-pleasing. And when you get stuck there, then it seems like those are your only options. And then somebody comes along and says, I know you've been struggling a little bit, well, have you ever tried to do this? Maybe it's like rock climbing. I don't know. And you're like, well, I doubt I could do that. No, I can't do that. I could get hurt. No, I can't rock climb. Well, what about writing a book? Oh, I couldn't ever write a book. I don't know. Because you're stuck in the limitations of your survival instead of possibility. And that's why, again, I come back to get out of the feeling of being unsafe, you have to show yourself that you are safe. The first one, ask that question. Am I safe right now? Oh, yeah, I am. Okay, wonderful. Is it possible that I could become more than who I think I am today by reintegrating myself? Yes, yes it is. Therefore, your identity can change. Great, mental safety. And then the emotional safety, you got to go do something. You have to take an action. You're not going to be able to do it from the comfort of your couch. You got to actually step forward, and even if that means just taking a breath in. Notice every time we take this breath, even though it's so simple, it does something. Because it actually moves you from the amygdala into the respiratory system, motor cortex, and other places of your mind. Even if it comes into the prefrontal cortex that can do some comparison, and you're like, I wish you'd stop telling us to breathe. Great! You're somewhere else than the survival place. And in that moment, you suddenly felt safety. And then from there, keep taking steps. And as you do that, what happens is those doubts that have been holding you back, those doubts that kept you from even trying to do something, give you a little bit of courage. And in that little bit of courage, you take a little bit of a step and you're like... And then when you do that and you didn't die, your brain is like, oh, okay, okay. Change isn't deadly. Not as terrifying as I thought. And then you do it again. Take another little step. And your brain starts to grow in confidence as you start taking steps consistently. Now there's a key to this. You take steps towards what you really desire in life, what you really want, what you really cherish, what you choose in your life. Right? You choose the things that you truly want, that fulfill you, that bring you that fullness of the heart, that make you smile, even if it's just by breathing or saying, breathe. Or maybe it's dancing. And it doesn't have to be dancing in the middle of, you know, the public place. You can dance at home. I know a lot of you do that. You just don't want to admit it. And when we start to give ourselves permission, oh, the potentials that open up. I like to say that there's a sequence that can happen in our lives. The first one is that we accept where we're at. And acceptance is a funny term. People look at it and they think that, well, that means you just got to like it even if you don't like it. No, that would be ignorance, ignoring the truth, right? No, recognize it for what it is as a starting point. That's where you're at right now. It's not where you have to stay. But if you ignore where it is, if you make up a story as to, no, it's not so bad. No, everything's okay. No, I can deal with it. How many of you have been in a relationship in the past where, you know, you realized at some point, this isn't working? And then what was it, like 2-3 years later, you finally got out? Yeah, there's a lot of you nodding your heads like, I've been there, I know. Because we ignore the truth of the moment. Now, I'm not saying the moment that you're uncomfortable that you should jump ship, no. But if there's a pattern going on of not feeling safe to express your truth, then eventually that starts stifling you and it starts to take away living instead of giving it to you. And in those moments, you get to express it to find clarity for yourself and also for those around you. And then things might change, and that's permission. So acceptance is the first stage. We recognize where we're starting from, this moment, the truth of it. Permission is to allow for change, which simply means that you start to see the possibilities that you weren't seeing before. You start to realize the things you didn't think were possible for you. Why not? If they're possible for somebody else, then they're possible for you. You might have to work for it. You might have to move in the direction of it with consistency of action. But the first step of making that easier is giving yourself permission to do so. So maybe that's even the easiest way of dealing with doubt, is when we have those thoughts of lack within us, give ourselves the permission to cultivate the strength, the capacity, the skills, and the steps to achieve whatever it is that we're looking to achieve, to express whatever it is that we're looking to express, and just begin. I'd like you to close your eyes for a moment. As you sit here or lay here with eyes closed, go ahead and take another deep breath in, exhaling it out. Breathing in and exhaling it out. Now, with any journey of going within, in that journey, we start to feel things and we start to see things and we start to acknowledge our own emotions, sensations, thoughts and beliefs. So I want you to visualize a place that to you is a safe place. Maybe it's a beachfront, your feet in the sand, the warm sand. Maybe it's a field of grass. Maybe it's inside your room, curled up in your blankets. Whatever that safe space is for you, go ahead and see that in your mind's eye. And as you start to see that in your mind's eye, we're going to work with these words that you've taken in with you on this journey. With every breath that we take and every heartbeat that we feel, there is this abundance that even if our mind doesn't realize, it must accept to know that there is an acknowledgement that's there because it's who you are in this moment. And as you start to feel that, it's almost like it's a choice of clarity, a choice to communicate with yourself, an expression that's not a projection, but that is who you are, and you start to dive in a little deeper. Feeling the safety of that community, even if it's just of self, to be compassionate in your confidence that whatever you might move through, any challenge that is there with you now or in the future or has been in the past, that you have the capacity, the courage, the ability to move through it. With every breath that you're taking, there is a life that comes in that starts to expand and contract, because that's life. It's an ebb and a flow, a movement of waves, just like the emotions that we might have in some consistent fashion. But if we hold them, we contract, we lose focus on what is possible in our world. So maybe first give yourself some gentle approach. Forgive that which you have held back, because you are so much more than you have been showing because of that doubt, that wall, that barrier that held you back. While happiness and healing and reintegration and letting go and love and everything you were hoping to manifest into this station of your life was waiting for your permission, all you had to do was say, "I choose the reality I get to receive. I let go of the resistance. My self-worth is seeing my whole self in totality, not in fragmentation, but allowing the success of the support that you can surrender to." And sometimes our relationships are what guide us, because we get to look into the possibility of those around us to see a reflection of your greatest strengths and also the places of your shadow, which doesn't mean it's something bad. It simply means it's a part you have not cultivated, you have not developed with your attention and your love, your self-love, into the vulnerability of who you are as a choice. Now you've been sitting in this beautiful, safe space. I want you to start to see it expanding, opening. The walls or the field or the ocean or the air, whatever it is that's around you, start to see it opening even further. They say you have to jump out of your comfort zone to find magic, but that's not the truth. You just have to expand what you're comfortable with by becoming familiar with new things, new possibilities and potentials and feelings, and letting that continue to expand and open, inviting more light, more sensation, more life. And noticing that maybe wherever you are, you can take a seed, and in that seed, I want you to see the goals, the achievements, the feelings, the desires that you wish to bring into your life. I want you to put that in that seed, and then take that seed implanted into this safety, into the soil of your own being, your own potential. Plant it deep and know that whatever you put into that seed is bound to grow. You might even start to see it doing it already, starting to sprout out through the soil. Sometimes we start in dirt and muddiness, but as soon as we break through the surface of our own limitations and doubts, we realize there is so much more if we just start to move out. And you see this tree start to grow with the fruits of your seed of expression and emotion, love, joy, bliss, vitality. And some of those branches might grab the corners of your lips, taking them up towards your ears. That ancient practice again of smiling, experiencing who you are, which is a possibility of joy and brilliance, and every other emotion that might come through naturally. Welcome them all as waves that come through and pass through. You do not need to hold them. The abundance that gets to come into your life is a stream, not a lake. A river, not a pool. An ocean, not a puddle. Gently, in your own time, you can start to allow yourself to come back to the room, wiggling the fingers and the toes. Gently opening the eyes. What if I don't know what I want to do? This is a great question. A lot of times I'll ask people, my wife and I, we ask it of each other all the time. I ask my clients this all the time. I ask my friends this all the time. What do you want? And it's an interesting question. Because people will answer in a funny way. They'll be like, well, I just don't want to suffer anymore. I don't want to be poor. I don't want to be sick. I don't want to, be old or young or weak or strong. I don't want this or I don't want that. And I go, okay, whoa. The question was, what do you want? Not what do you not want? And then when we really drop into that, because often we're in avoidance rather than in pursuit of our desires in life. When you really ask yourself, what do I want? Second common response that comes all the time is, I don't know. And I don't believe that's true. I think every single one of us knows what we want, otherwise we wouldn't be disappointed when we don't get it. And I'm going to make it really, really simple. What we want is always a feeling. If I ask the room right now, is there anybody in here who does not want to be happy? I didn't think so. Anybody doesn't want to have joy? Anybody not want to feel good? So at least that, we have clarity that we want happiness, we want joy, we want positive feelings, but also contentment in all feelings, right? We want peace. We want safety. So now you know some feelings that you want. All you have to do now is take that and look at the many possibilities and paths that might lead you there. It might be coming to a class like this. It might be reading a book. It might be binging on Netflix. It might be taking a swim. Whatever it is that brings you that feeling, give yourself permission to go do it. So that question of what do I want, just ask yourself, how do I want to feel? Not what do I want, because sometimes we think it has to be some external possession, exchange, accumulation, achievement. What's the feeling? And then you can give yourself permission right now for that. Can I ask you personally, what do you want now? Can we say you would like happiness? That's something that you would want? Okay. And is it okay if I dig in with you a little bit? We'll see if we can move some stuff, and also that always helps everybody else too. So we know that happiness is something you would like, right? I'm not even going to say that you would love, it's what you're ultimately wanting, but it's something. What's something that makes you happy? Anything. In the past, now, Okay. And before that time, what was something that made you happy? You played table tennis. That's fun. Yeah. So, have you done anything to look to see if there's any table tennis or anything like that that you could go and play with? Or even just to play? So this is new possibility, right? We start to look and see. We're going to play a little game right now of table tennis. Okay, imaginary table tennis. Do you have your paddle? Look, she's already happy. It's that simple. Ready? I'm pretty good. Oh, she's like backhand. Thank you. We have to give ourselves permission to not be so serious sometimes. Because sometimes the seriousness is a focus, it's a concentration. We're like, how can I get through this? By being a little less focused on it being only one way or two ways or three ways. But it's any way. You can be silly and foolish and playful. The innocence of a child with a little bit of clarity of what it is that made you laugh and play and smile. In the moments before, maybe there was a gap of time when you weren't. Sometimes in trying to figure out what I want, there's like multiple choices. And how do I know which one's the right choice, the perfect choice? The one you choose. That simple. The right choice, the perfect choice is going to be the one that you choose. Because here's the illusion of life. We're in a fork in the road and we're like, which one, which one, which one? And the limbo state sucks, right? That indecision. And you're like, which one? Okay, I'm going to go with this one, but I'm not sure because it wasn't I don't know if it was the perfect choice. And then you're here, and because you're not committed, you do this illusion in your mind that you go, maybe I should go back in time, because we all have time machines, to do the other choice. The illusion is that the other choice is gone. So the moment we take action on any choice, that was the only one. The other one's gone. Only in our mind's eye and stories and regret or doubt do we think it still exists back there. Now, it does still exist, but it's ahead of you. Every possibility infinitely is always ahead of you. You can choose it. So, to make the right choice, just make a choice. Step forward, feel it out, get clarity. As you get more clarity, you'll get more confidence as to whether that's the one you want to continue choosing. And maybe it's not. Oh, great. Make a new choice. Find an activity that makes you happy. Right? Tony Robbins and any kind of NLP stuff tells you that you have to be in the emotional state that you wish to achieve in order to make a choice towards it. Right? And what that means is if you want to be happy with your choice, then you got to make it from a place of happiness. And so if you're sitting there and you're stressed out and you're like, oh, I don't know what to choose, and you're going to make a choice from stress and urgency and despair. Get up, dance, move, do whatever it does, some table tennis, right? Do something to get you into a different state and then see what naturally feels correct for you. All right, so we're at the end of the class here, so I'm going to summarize real quick what we've been talking about. The topic today was dealing with doubt. And we start to look at the idea that doubt is a defense mechanism, a wall that we have put up that's not blocking the possibilities only, but also blocking the support and clarity of what we might want. That in our doubts we focus more on what we think we are lacking than what we can achieve. We say, I cannot, instead of how can I, when we have this in our mind's eye. So what would happen if instead of investing in doubt, you invested in possibility? By simply recognizing where you're starting from, that's acceptance, and from there, giving yourself permission for new potentials and possibilities. Now, maybe to do that, you have to get out of your survival place of the amygdala, this little reptilian brain, and you do something, maybe even breathe deeply, sing, dance, journal, take an action of some form. And when you do that and you move into this creative space, the doubt goes away because it's filled in with possibility and curiosity. So many of you came in today with that word, and I love it because, like I said, that's the compass of the heart. If you can become curious of the how and what else and the infinite abundance of possibility, then doubt can't get in your way. It's just a little speed bump. And I know what you all do with speed bumps. If you're in a rush, you don't really slow down. You're like, do the same. Don't let it stop you. Just keep moving forward, taking actions consistently. This is one of the best ways you're going to get past doubt, is to realize that it was there, maybe to try to keep you safe. Check in. Are you safe? And if you are, let that wall go. Take that speed bump away. Start to go on cruise control. Thank you, everybody.